The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It ends at Wembley in favour of Liverpool, who are now through to the final for the first time in 10 years in this competition. Kay Murray, Stevie Nicol and Craig Burley here with you in our ESPN FC studios. Stevie, there was some late drama there. It looks as though we could be going to extra time at one point.
I was shouting at the referee to blow his whistle.
Well, we heard.
We heard. Well, that should never have happened. I mean, Liverpool are going to have to look at themselves, considering the side they had out, considering the side that City had out, considering the position they found themselves in at half-time, 3-0 up, to finish this game holding on. I think Klopp needs to look and figure out why, because that was poor. Second half on Liverpool was poor.
Do you think, Craig, that they thought, OK, we've done this already after that first half of action?
I think there is always a danger when you're 3-0 up. You take the foot off the gas a little bit, but against these City players, you've got to be careful. We talked about Jack Grealish, I think rightly so at half-time, and before the game, about his performance, about his end product. He moved from that central position where he looks lost. He's tried him there two or three times this season, and it just doesn't look right. He went on to the left, got himself a goal, looked a little bit better out there. So that's a plus for his point of view. But we were just talking about it, Stevie and I. Yeah, it was tight at the end. But there was no desperation for City to get back in and win this. There was only one substitution made when Jesus was struggling, Mahrez come on. He could have brought on De Bruyne if he wanted. He could have brought on Gundogan if he wanted. He could have brought on others if he'd wanted. But he was hell-bent, I think, first and foremost, if it was going against him, Pep Guardiola that is to make sure his key players, Rodri, those guys that I mentioned, got a rest. First and foremost. Anything that happened after that, Kay, was a bonus. And I think that's why Liverpool made, I think, four substitutions, and City in the end, I think, made one.
Yeah, we've seen Jurgen Klopp and the fans celebrating Liverpool through to a final here. Does a result like this have any impact on the title race between the two?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. For Manchester City, as Craig said, clearly Pep Guardiola was saving some of his players for the Champions League and for the running for the Premier League. You won't see a performance that Manchester City gave today between now and the end of the season. You will not see that performance again. Listen, you've got to give them credit. They started the second half with getting the goal, which kind of got them in the game. But then the longer it went, it fell into the mould of, well, Liverpool's just playing for time. So no, this will not play into any. It won't play into the Champions League and it won't play into the Premier League. It was a semi-final of an FA Cup. And no surprise, it wasn't a great game. Because generally, semi-finals of the FA Cup are not usually great games. And it's only about who wins. And right now, Liverpool will be pleased because they've won, regardless.
Well, let's take a look back at how it all turned out from the very early minutes in this game, where in the fourth minute... Oh, no, we're not starting there, actually. This is the opening goal from Konate.
Yeah, we didn't bother with Grealish's strike. it was that bad. Look, this is a strange way to set up, but that's the way they did, and it meant there was smaller players trying to block Konate. It didn't happen, and he got a run on... Onaki and won the header, and then this is just a disaster.
Yeah, it's just a brain freeze, you know. His first touch is what really kills him, because he doesn't get it out of his feet. Then he starts to panic a little bit.
He wasn't helped out, was he?
Well, he wasn't, but he's still got time to take a decent first touch. See, if that's a good first touch, then he can play it with his second. Because it's poor, he tries to take a second, misses it, has another go at it, and then... By then it's too late. With the pace man he's got, he's closing them down, ball's in the back of the net.
There were questions asked of Zach Steffen once again. Obviously you can see the support, the atmosphere, brilliant from the Liverpool fans, as you can imagine, with a scoreline like this against City in the first half. Then just before the half came to a close, there was another goal for Liverpool from Sadio Mane.
Yeah, I love the ball from Thiago and then Mane with the volley. Another question mark about the goalkeeper, really. I mean, it wasn't the worst mistake if anybody's sort of looking at the goalkeeper, but...
He's in a good spot there, though, isn't he? He has to react better and quicker.
Near post.
Yes, he has to.
It's a good strike, though. I'm not taking it away from Sadio Mane's brilliant strike. But again, it just typified his first half.
Take it to the second half, and there were no changes made by Pep Guardiola. And City get things underway early.
Well, Liverpool have given the ball away. Robertson's given the ball away there. The line's not together. They end up getting in behind. And Jack Grealish finds himself pretty much all alone in the penalty box. I mean, that's a poor ball from Robertson. And from there, they never really recover. Konate's playing Jesus on here. Fabinho doesn't do a great job of defending him. And Grealish, that's a nice finish with his left peg. Maybe he was watching us in the telly in the dressing room at half time, do you think?
Yeah, you weren't really waxing lyrical.
Well, no, but listen, well, you know, what's the saying? One swallow does not make a summer. He's going to need a lot more of that.
Right. 56th minute, and we saw a few tough challenges in this one. This is Fernandinho going in hard for a tackle on Mane.
Well, this is what, his third one of the game?
The ref had been quite lenient, hadn't he, in the first half?
Well, he had, and listen, we don't want people setting off, but no question, it's a yellow card, that's for sure.
And then it starts to really step up. There is the yellow card.
Yeah, I mean, he could have easily been booked early in the game and, you know, you'd normally think he'd be taken off at that point just in case. But as you say, he did not want Rodri to get any game time. He wanted to have him arrest. And then that was Jack Grealish again with the ball through to Gabriel Jesus. But, I don't know, he gets his fair quota of goals, but I wouldn't call him a natural finisher.
That's why you play Alisson. And that's why City should have played Edison, in my opinion.
Taking it to the closing moments of this game, though, and suddenly things got pretty exciting because City were to get another one on the board.
Well, we talked about it at half-time, and, you know, Stevie was right in saying that, you know, you got us into this whole get-us-out-of-it sort of approach. That's fair enough. But when it gets to the last 20 minutes, whatever it is, and it's 3-1, he brings on Mahrez, who is a bit fresher, a bit of quality. I know you want to give guys a rest, but why not just chuck Gundogan and De Bruyne on? I don't know about De Bruyne's fitness, but, you know, if they're fit enough, chuck them on for 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Just when Liverpool are kind of foot off the gas, maybe a little bit tired, but he didn't do that.
Well, they got a little complacent, basically, is what happened with Liverpool. They thought the game was over and we'll just try to play it out. And then, of course, when you give the ball away, with the talent that City have, they can hurt you. And by this stage now, I'm screaming at the referee.
But Liverpool would hold on.
I'm telling him to get in the corner. I'm telling Alisson to hold on to the ball. And eventually he did blow up. And I can tell you, I was glad to hear it at the end.
Yes, you were. Liverpool winning the game 3-2, despite that late push by City. Taking a look at the stats there. And it is Liverpool marching on to the FA Cup final for the first time since 2012. Frank Leboeuf was at Wembley Stadium for us today. He joins us now. Frank, your thoughts on how the game turned out?
Well, it was a great game for Liverpool overall, let's say, especially in the first half. And of course, we were expecting a reaction from City. It was completely invisible the first half, and it happened at some point. But I think the best team won. You know, it would have been a kind of miracle, let's say, if City would have been able to come back. But it was nice in terms of suspense to see the last 2-3 minutes City trying to get the third goal, which in fact made me wonder, you know, why didn't try that before? Why didn't try to rush a little bit the game before being 3-2? Now they're out of the competition. Now they will have to think about it and maybe get lessons about it.
Frank, what did Pep Guardiola learn about his City side in this game?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you say, Kay.
What will Pep Guardiola take away from what he saw from his side today?
The fact that resilience wasn't there. Yes, you can have a big game in midweek, but you have to make sure that you are spot on at the first minutes or seconds of the game. So maybe to rethink, you know, the preparation mentally of the players, because physically, of course, in terms of technique, tactic, they know everything about football. But it was only mentally that they were they were bad today, especially the first half. And that's maybe a lesson that that Guardiola has to put on and talk to the players in the dressing room. And maybe now get the objective of winning the Premier League and maybe the Champions League for sure, because losing a semi-final of the FA Cup for Manchester City is not acceptable, especially in that situation.
I tell you what he learned today about his... Well, I don't know if he learned anything, but I think what became abundantly clear is you can spend the money, you can build a deep squad, but ultimately your first 11 or 12 players, whatever it is, when you don't have them against the other top teams and they're strong, that's a problem. And what tells him is that he can't afford to lose Diaz, Laporte or Stones to rotate that partnership, that he needs to have Walker fit to put Cancelo back to left back, and he needs De Bruyne firing on all cylinders. And that's where the argument debate could pop up today. Maybe City fans are having it between the rest. And I'm not talking about starting the game. I'm talking about bringing these guys on at some point in the second half. The rest for the rest of the season and the recovery and the potential, particularly after Grealish scores right after half time. If Grealish doesn't score till the 70 or 80th minute, fine. But he scores straight after half time, so all of a sudden it's changed a little bit. Then we have that balancing act. Could he have thrown a couple of those guys on along with Mahrez?
I think he clearly didn't want to.
He didn't want to.
No,
he didn't.
Had he already decided it was over then, Stevie? Is that what you're saying?
It seems like he decided before the ball was kicked that this is how he was going to go about it. And I think what he will have learned, and he'll be sitting down with his coaching staff in the next few days, and he'll be going, right, we cannot afford to have any injuries.
Yeah.
Because pretty much every single player that played today that we called a strong squad, that how good they were when they're a strong squad and they can make changes and it doesn't make a difference, well, that's completely gone. Maybe 2 years ago we could say that. That's not the case now. The fact is, they've got 11, maybe 12, and after that, it falls off a cliff. Because if I'm Zinchenko or I'm Ake or Fernandinho, all of those guys who are on the periphery did absolutely nothing to suggest that either they're going to push into the first 11 or they're capable of winning a Premier League or a Champions League if they indeed ask to play again. Well, I think you learned that.
By contrast, obviously we're just taking a look at Manchester City starting 11 here. When it comes to Liverpool, it's a completely different story. You were saying before the game, it doesn't really matter who comes in, who he changes in and out. They're going to be pretty
well,
much
I think
the same
in the front
anyway.
Line. But that's what
but
we said
about City a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, not defensively.
Right.
You know, if you put Tsimikas in and Gomez who played against Benfica, and a Matip Kanati partnership, that's kind of giving you the same heebie-jeebies as Man City changing. But, you know, there's no doubt Liverpool, when they change the front three, and everybody's talked about it, they've got five to pick from now. Now, some might be in better form than others. Mm. But that potentially doesn't weaken the team, whatever way it goes. But when you're talking behind, midfield and defence, both these teams, that's when it becomes more of a problem, because Man City couldn't dominate that midfield today. Man City couldn't defend as they defended in Madrid. They just didn't have the players to do that, and hence they got beat, and Liverpool scored three in the first half.
Does it also point to how the two sides play that about these changes, that when it does come to the midfield and the defence?
I was actually I was actually surprised how poor Manchester City were, because you know, Liverpool is more of an energy, in my opinion, at their best. It's more, they need a lot of energy, because we're talking about it for the game. It's rock and roll, it's getting forward, it's pace. Everything's done at a pace. Whereas City is a purer game of football. And so the fact that they can't play that pure game of football would worry me if I was Pep. Because if they don't do it, they've got nothing else. Whereas I think Liverpool have more weapons. So that would be my concern again if I was Pep Guardiola.
We've got Frank here still at Wembley for us. Let's focus on the winning side then, shall we? Liverpool going through to the final here. What stood out about Liverpool's performance to you today, Frank?
Well, I would say that everything, you know, from the first second, I think I saw all the players really committed, but especially I would say in the middle of the park, when I discovered Thiago Alcantara, because I didn't have a chance to see him live, and I followed him for like 5-10 minutes, and what he does, everything he does is perfectly done, I would say, where he's always in the right position. When he gets the ball, of course, it's Joga Bonita, I would say, everything is perfect. Even if he plays simple, he knows how to use the change of positioning. Is absolutely accurate, and I have to add Naby Keita alongside him. And when you win the battle in the middle of the park, you normally win the game. Otherwise, I would say that in the stands as well, I think Liverpool fans won the game. that's for sure. But yeah, I would say that I have to say something about what Stevie said. I think Ake had a good game. I watched him playing. I tried to see defensively what the defender were doing. That's, he was the only one who coped with the situation. It could have been with Sané or also with Mohamed Salah. It was spot on. So, you know, sometimes we criticize players and overall the team. But sometimes you have to say that maybe one player did well in that kind of a nightmare, I would say, first half.
There's one thing, Frank, I would say to you about Ake. And it's the same problem I think he had at Bournemouth. At Bournemouth, he stood out as a defender because he kept making last-ditch tackles. Now, we did that today on three occasions. But in my opinion, a good defender shouldn't be making three last-ditch tackles in a game. That to me, tells me you're out of position. Maybe there's the odd occasion when he gets somebody out of jail, somebody's messed up. But when you find yourself making so many last-ditch challenges in one game, I think you've got to question your positioning to start with.
Because you shouldn't have let it get to that point.
Well, you shouldn't let it get to that point. Well, defending's all, look at Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Defending's all about avoiding making challenges. It's all about being in a position where the ball goes somewhere else, or you're influenced the man on the ball to play a certain pass. You know, I don't like seeing a centre-back coming off the field with the dirtiest shots and the team because he's making slide challenges and last-ditch tackles. I'm not a fan of that.
Just to let you know that we are waiting to hear from Andy Robertson and Jurgen Klopp. Alexis Nunes is at Wembley Stadium for us today as well. Would you like to wade in on that, Craig, what the two guys are talking about, Nake, there?
I don't think any. I just think it's a combination across the back four. And we talked about it before the game. We looked at it and went, oh. Not bad players individually, but put it one way. I think if he has some injuries along the way before the end of the season, the Manchester City manager, I think when he's writing down combinations, if this combination pops up, they're all going to look at each other, the coaches, and go, no, right, okay, let's go back, put it all in again, get the names out, see what we can figure out. It's not a combination that worked across the back four and with the goalkeeper. So, you know, Diaz is coming back to fitness, you know, Stones did look leggy today. Laporte, it was his day for a rest. That's been the partnership recently. So barring any disasters for City, we're not going to see this combination again for the rest of this season.
What would he do if he got to pick his 11 again? Bearing in mind they did have that tough game against City. Bearing in mind they do have those injuries.
I honestly don't think he would change it. I think he was hell-bent. Liverpool had their rest in midweek. The most of the players, what you would call the key players.
He was forced, wasn't he?
Stevie mentioned this on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
In some sense, the fixtures, the way they fell for Liverpool and who was at home and who was away in the Champions League, they fell better for Liverpool. Obviously, City had a tougher game against Madrid over the two legs. Benfica are an easier side. But he was able to make those changes at Anfield. And so it fell in Liverpool's way. And that made it a bit easier for them.
OK, let's hear Alexis Nunes. She's caught up with Andy Robertson after the game.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Kay. We're just shuffling over here. Robbo is joining us. Robbo, congratulations. I know that was a tough one. What a difference a week makes. Anything you learned from the last time you played them, just less than a week ago, that helped tonight?
Yeah, look, we learned a lot. Of course we did. You know, any time you play against a team like Man City, you can learn, you know, what we've done well and what we've done not so well. So we knew we had to come out high energy, you know, get in their faces, try and put them under pressure, don't give them time on the ball. And I think you've seen that. We put a lot into the first half an hour, and it was a really good performance by us. And then, you know, second half, it was about defending the lead, and you know, luckily we just got there in the end.
Well, like you said, you put a lot in that first half hour, and ultimately it's what paid off, really and truly. Did you feel fresher than they was, knowing that both of you guys had quite a tough week too?
You know, obviously some of us never played midweek when they had a tough game, but they obviously made a few changes that made them have fresh legs. So, you know, I just think we were ready for it. We were ready for the challenge. We were ready to, you know, be better than we were last week. And that's what we tried to do. That was the mindset we tried to go in with. And I think we've done that. You know, we put some really good players under pressure, forcing them into mistakes. And, you know, that showed. And then it was just about trying to take advantage and trying to get the goals that we needed. And luckily we were clinical enough.
Well, we have a World Cup winner in Frank Leboeuf as one of our analysts today, and he literally just said that one of the things that stood out for him in that first half with you guys is just the unity and the intensity and the understanding that you guys seem to always have. Do you think that that's kind of a secret for how you guys have been really good over the last couple of years under Jürgen?
Yeah, look, when we're really good, then we're all singing from the same hymn sheet, you know, and you know where everyone's going to be, and you know how we can press and where we have to be and everything like that. So it helps, of course it does. And I thought we were really good today. You know, I thought we were excellent. I thought, you know, we really worked hard, you know, and that was the main thing. You know, the wingers done an unbelievable job. I know Mo probably disappointed not to score, but you know, the work rate that man put in today was unbelievable. Diaz on my side was incredible, and Sadio up top put in an unbelievable performance. So it was an all-round team performance. We put in so much energy, so much, you know, we applied so much to this game, and you know, luckily we got through to the final, which was the aim at the start.
I'm mentioning that final, you are in a FA Cup final now, you've also got Champions League semi-finals, you got you guys into a nice little title race with Manchester City as well. How do you manage the expectations and the focus?
Look, if the fans for us aren't expecting things, then we're not doing the right thing. So we let them dream, we let them think about all the things that are going on, but we focus on the next game, you know, and our next game is so quick turnaround, it's unbelievable. You know, we play in, you know, I think about 72 hours against Man United, which is incredible, and we have to be ready. You know, we have to get our bodies ready. There's a lot of tired bodies, and we're going to need to be ready because I know they will be, and we need to try and keep pushing on the Premier League front. So, like I said, we let our fans dream, and we focus on the next game. So, already our mind will focus on Tuesday night.
And finally, you mentioned Sadio and his goals. There was a bit of a fumble from Zach Steffen, the City keeper there, that he absolutely pounced on. Is that just kind of sums up the quality that Sadio is?
Yeah, and it just shows you, I think, the pressure we were putting on Man City in the first half. You know, we were pressing them all over the park, and you know, if you put good players under pressure, they sometimes make mistakes. You know, we do it as well, and we know how it feels. And, you know, Sadio's press for the goal was unbelievable, and the keeper just got caught on it. So, you know, incredible press, incredible goal, and I'm sure it'll be the manager's favourite goal. I'm sure he'll say that. And, you know, it put us in a, you know, 2-0, which is always nice. And then luckily we managed to add a third just before half-time.
Robbo, congrats. All the best for the final.
Thank you very much. Thank you. See you later on.
A good day from Eddie Roberts.
My God, there's too many Scottish people in this broadcast. Robertson, Nickelburn, have a word.
Yeah, but at least he's talking sense.
Yeah, right.
There's a few things that stand out there. First of all, him talking about the team unity. It's there for all to see at Liverpool, isn't it, Stevie?
Yeah, you don't win Premier Leagues and Champions League if you're not together, because it takes every single person. You know, it's not good having one or two who are absolutely flying, can't do anything wrong, and the other six or seven are struggling along. You know, it's about helping each other as well, because every day somebody's not at their best. It's just the way it is. And when you get a team that's together, then on one day, maybe you pick up the slack for somebody else. On another day, he's picking the slack up for you. And that's how it works, and that's how the best teams work.
If you look at both those teams, or they're both... They do it differently, but they're both the same in terms of the message that's coming out and the message from the players. If you look then down at Chelsea, they've had their main big summer signing this year talking about wanting to be somewhere else, want to go back to Italy, caused a right furore before Christmas with his interview. We haven't heard anything like that from Liverpool or City. We have Man United, who have had constant leaks from the training ground. We haven't had that recently from Liverpool or from City. I'm not saying it's not happened in the past, but these two coaches manage the players, they manage the message that comes out for the most part, and the unity is there on the field. I've always said, you know, both these teams are a mirror image of the coaches. Absolutely 100%.
You know, as a coach, you know what you love? when one of your players comes out and spouts everything you've said.
Right.
Because A, you know they're listening, and B, they get it.
We're going to hear from Jurgen Klopp in just a moment from Alexis Nunes, but it actually picks up on something Andy Robertson said in the interview there. And obviously there was a Zach Steffen mistake, but he was talking about the press, and he said the coach will say it's his favourite goal.
Right.
Is that him saying Jurgen Klopp is looking at what he's teaching us, and we're doing that on the pitch, what he's telling us?
You know what? You don't need to tell anybody if they score a goal from 45 yards on a flying volley that it's a fantastic goal and it's not important. But when you're in training and you're showing players things and you're talking about closing the ball down properly, this is the reason why coaches love these types of goals, because it's a small thing. You know, sometimes you play great and you make 5 and 6 passes and everyone walks easy. Sometimes you have to work for something. And because of what he's done on the training field with his spacing, you know, when to close, when to stay off. Klopp loves this, because that's every single thing that he's talked about. You just saw Mane closing down the goalkeeper there. That's why coaches love these goals over, as I said, bicycle kicks or anything like that.
Not easy coming in, though, for Steffen. I know he plays in the cup, I get that. Yeah. But when you're coming in, it's a reshuffled back line who, Stevie was mentioning, dilly-dallying on the ball, and then playing them those hospital balls, he has to take touch. Anyway, I'm waffling enough. Let's hear from the Liverpool
manager.
It turns
out we have got Jurgen Klopp with Alexis Nunes right now. Let's hear from him.
No. Thanks so much, Kate. Yeah, we've got the man of the moment here, Jurgen Klopp, joining us after what a win. Jurgen, congratulations. Another FA Cup final for you guys. What impressed you the most about what you boys did today?
Don't want to correct you, but it's our first FA Cup final. But it makes it even more special. No, it was first half was obviously absolutely insane. Not only result-wise, performance-wise as well. It was for sure one of the best first halves we ever played since I'm at Liverpool. So, yeah, and I'm really happy about the second half as well, because the strength of City, when they showed up again, it's like, okay, wow, that's really special if you beat them. And we beat them, and we deserved it. They were lucky here, lucky there, but they were lucky as well with our counterattacks. So this is the fair outcome for a really special football game, and I'm really, really happy.
Well, we have to talk about Sadio Mane, because he was definitely on another level today. We just spoke to Robbo, and he mentioned that your favorite goal of Sadio's might have been that one where he capitalized on a Steffen fumble.
Definitely. And the other one was not bad as well, but I hate the fact that you need a moment like this, like a little mistake off the goalie, because especially afterwards, with all the noise in the stadium, it's not easy to stay in the game, but I think Zach did really well. But in that moment, Sadio was just there and used this little opportunity. There was no opportunity until Sadio accelerated. Yes, and I love that. Two bits, to be honest.
And finally, speaking of Manchester City, now we know the rivalry, of course, with Manchester United, but now it seems that Liverpool and Manchester City seem to be new rivals, and it's kind of like iron sharpening iron, isn't it?
Oh, with Liverpool, we have so many rivals. I sometimes realize only when we win a game after first whistle. So we played once 2 years or 3 years ago at Newcastle last match day, and I thought, wow, what the heck, what did we do to them? Why it's that intense here, everything? And United will always be. Probably, I'm not about biggest rival, massive rival, and City is for me, since I'm in England, is the number one team. So if you want to be successful, you have to beat City. So we know that. But there's enough space. You have 38 games a season, 4 competitions. So you have enough time to face all your different rivals. And imagine now, City, United, Everton. And you tell me which is the biggest rival. I cannot make this decision.
All right, Jurgen, congratulations. All the best for the final.
Thank you very much. See you. Bye-bye.
Jurgen's listed a few rivals there and even mentioned that going to Newcastle, what did we ever do to them? Is he bringing in that siege mentality? Oh, it looks as though we're getting Jack Grealish, actually. So just hold tight for that. I think we're going to hear from scorer for Man City in just a moment. Yes, we are. Alexis with Jack Grealish.
Thanks so much, Kay. Yeah, we've got Jack here putting on quite a brave face. I know that was a tough match to take, tough result and a tough rival. Was it hard to physically and mentally even prepare for this, given the week you guys had?
No, I don't think so. You know, it's part of football. You know, we knew that this was coming. Obviously, you know, during the week, Liverpool had a bit more, they didn't have more time to prepare, you know, but they had time to rest players as they, you know, had a bit more of a had a bit more of a winning gap, you know, in the Champions League, so they could rest a few players. Obviously, we couldn't on Wednesday, so, you know, the team got changed a little bit today, which I don't think many people expected. But I think it was just purely the first half. You know, we come out slow. You know, I think Liverpool were better in every aspect, keeping the ball, pressing, and obviously the three goals as well, which was the main thing.
And of course, being ESPN, we keep an eye on the American Zach Steffen out there. You mentioned some of the changes. He went there. It looked to be a tough game for him. But how do you make of how he's kind of playing his trade now at Manchester City? Because we know how difficult it can be, knowing the quality this squad has.
No, I think Zach was, you know, I think it showed his character, you know, in the second half especially. You know, he could have easily, you know, hid and made more mistakes, but he come out, you know, didn't concede another goal in the second half, and you know, was brilliant with the ball at his feet. You know, it's always going to be difficult for a keeper to come in and play with his feet, you know, as much as Edison does, because I think Eddie's, you know, the best in the world at that. But Zach's brilliant. You know, we see what he's like day in, day out at training, and the manager obviously sees that, and that's why he played him today.
Well, of course, the manager saw something very special in you when he brought you to Manchester City. How have you been finding life at City now?
Yeah, no, it's been all right. It's been difficult. And no, it's been good. Obviously, you know, I've had a few stuff said about me, but I've enjoyed it here, you know. Obviously, it was nice to score today, but it didn't really mean too much in the end, with us obviously not being on the winning side. No, I'm enjoying it here. I'm looking forward. This is what I've come here to do, you know, playing the biggest stages, and we've certainly got that now coming to the end of the season. You know, we've got the Premier League to play for and the Champions League, so I'm looking forward to that.
You mentioned the Premier League title race now and the Champions League. Any benefit to being able to just focus on those two now? Because usually guys are in everything, but now it's just those two. Does this kind of help?
Yeah, you could say. You know, obviously it will give us, I think, a week off now towards the end of the season. Give us more time to prepare for certain games at the end of the season. But obviously, you know, we all wanted to win and get through tonight. And, you know, unfortunately it didn't happen.
Well, you don't get many weeks off, Jack, so I hope you enjoy. It's all the best for the next ones.
Thanks, Alexis.
Enjoy not getting to the FA Cup final.
How do you assess his performance overall on the day?
Not the best. Scored a good goal. Was better in the second half when he moved to the left, but I've not been harsh on him. I mean, he's got a big price tag. He's got a talent. But he's going to have to play consistently a lot better if he's going to be a regular in this current Manchester City squad. There's no doubt about that. Now, he wasn't alone today, clearly, and been under par for City. There was many of them from the back to the middle to the front. But he was part of it. And being a fresher player who hasn't played as much recently, his manager was looking to him, as like others who have come into the team, whilst the better players or the more regular players are left out. Guardiola was looking for these guys to step up, and as Grealish said himself, he got his goal, but it didn't really matter. And so he's going to have to up his game end this season and next season, which he can do, by the way. And there's been plenty of players that have gone to clubs and it's taken a while to settle in, but he's going to have to settle in at some point. And at the moment, he's not a starter when everybody's fit. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, Frank LaBeouf's at Wembley for us. How did he look to you today, Frank? Jack Grealish?
Well, like his team, invisible in the first half, that's for sure. And as soon as he scored the goal, he had more influence than in the game for his partner, but also against Liverpool. Well, again, he has to prove to everybody that he deserves to go to Manchester City. It was a tricky season for him. No doubt that he has the talent to show to the world that he can be one of the more influential player in Manchester City, but he still have to prove it. So we're going to wish him good luck, you know, because the way to the perfection is still far away for me.
I want to go on.
No, I was going to say, all the guys that have gone in there have stepped up eventually with their goals and assists, particularly goals. Mahrez, when Raheem Sterling, when he was at Liverpool, the one thing we talked about as a young man going to City was end product. Now, he still has his moments, but his stats are much improved. Ilkay Gundogan, German international, wasn't prolific from the middle of the park, and then he started scoring, particularly last year, a lot of goals. obviously the other one's De Bruyne, blah, blah, blah. Even Bernardo Silva was looking as if he was on the fringes at the end of last season, has started to add end product and goals to his game. It's the final third of the pitch that's where it really matters for the likes of Jack Grealish. Yep. And he got something done today that might give him a bit of confidence. And let's hope for his sake there's going to be more of that going forward.
Well, we can actually hear from another one of the goal scorers on the day. This time for Liverpool, here's Sadio Mane.
That is one of the best teams in the world. So if you, of course, you win this kind of game, especially semi-final, of course, it's a big, big, big win. And we are very pleased and we are very happy to qualify for the final.
The noise out here is deafening, but tell me, that performance from Liverpool, the first half, the attacking brilliance, the second half, did you have to show real resilience?
Well, to be honest, I think from the start of the game, we've been here very, very well. We start very well. I think everybody was a frontal, and I think we pressed them high. And for sure, I think the first goal, especially the goalkeeper, make the mistake. But I think it was good. We pushed him to make a mistake, and finally we get reward. I think that's Liverpool. It's our style to play. So of course, it was not easy for them. So I think that makes the difference.
Two goals for you again today. That's 10 now against Manchester City. But for the first goal in particular, could you sense Zach Steffen's hesitance?
Of course, I think, very happy to score the two goals for the team. But I think the performance of the team today was fantastic. And I think today every single player enjoyed really well the game, because I think we do the right thing in the right time. And I think it paid off.
And the quadruple is still on.
Well, we'll see. We have a lot of game to go. We'll try to do our best. I think it's a dream, for sure. And we'll go for it. We'll fight for it.
Well, enjoy tonight, Sadio. Congratulations.
You got a sense of the atmosphere there today, just looking at the two of them and how close they are and what this could mean for the title race too. The Premier League points between the two since 2018 and 19 season. The titles, obviously, they face in the semi-finals of the FA Cup today. They are on course, and if the odds makers are right, to meet in the Champions League final this season, and they're direct rivals for the Premier League. 7 games left in the Premier League for two of them. Obviously, there's the Champions League, as just mentioned. One less game in the FA Cup now for Pep Guardiola. But you see it on paper, and it looks as though Liverpool have the tougher run-in in the Premier League. And, of course, they are a point behind City.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I think both teams are looking to tidy up different things. I think for City, they just need to get back to that silky smooth passing, the sharp passing, the one and two touch and moving the ball. And when they do that, I don't care who they're playing, it's very tough to stop. As far as Liverpool are concerned, yes, they've got tougher games, and that means that the defence is going to be worked a little harder. And it's one thing to say against Benfica that the game was over, but you did give up a couple of late goals. Again today, when the game, you should say, well, the game was over really, you've given up a couple of goals again. So if there was one thing for Liverpool, they need to have a little refresher in the back line, because it's not tidy. You've got to keep things nice and tidy, and right now they're not. So for both sides, it's two different things.
Who's your favourite, Craig, for the title when you look at these remaining schedules?
Still City, just. But any injury crisis for either club, I think, could swing it. But, I mean, it's tough games. Brighton have won today. Watford are struggling. You know, Leeds under Jesse Marsh have been a bit better. Then you've got, you know, the two games with Real Madrid for City. You know, Liverpool potentially could kill the semi-final off. And I'm not being disrespectful, but they could do to Villarreal what they did to Benfica, effectively, which is potentially kill it off in the first leg. I think it's unlikely City will have that luxury. So it's swinging in roundabouts. I'm just siding with City, only because they're currently on top.
Frank, I'd be interested to know what you think about who's going to go on and win the Premier League title this season, and if there's anything you saw today from either side that impacts your decision.
Yes, one thing made me I'm still wondering we're going to win the Premier League. I thought, you know, in terms of quality, City was above Liverpool. But they seem to forget one thing in football, is the passion. Definitely for Liverpool, the passion is at the top. And this, you have the right to fail, you have the right to make mistakes, but as long as you are passionate, you can recover. You have everything for Manchester City, you have everything. They try to get very precise and to make everything perfect. But as soon as it's not perfect, they don't compensate with the passion. It's what I felt today comparing to Liverpool. So I will give the advantage still to Manchester City, because I think that with the player that they have, it's going to be, I think, enough to win the Premier League. But it's not done for sure.
In all fairness to them, they did, with a stronger team, they did not play well in Madrid, but showed a steely side to their game in the face of adversity at times, particularly late on. So they have got that about them, City. We didn't see it today. Yeah, this was not a good performance today as a generalisation, particularly with all the changes. But I think we saw also in midweek that, yeah, they didn't pass it very well. And strangely for a City side, they hardly ever looked at the scoring apart from Gundogan off the post. But they rolled their sleeves up big time. And they wanted to fight. They had to fight. They dealt with the fight. And they never rolled over to those tactics. So they have got that steely side to them as well. I think today was just, one, was the changes, and two, was just a really bad day or a bad 45 minutes at the office.
Now, they're back in the FA Cup final for the first time since 2012. They lost that one, but the last time they won it was back in 2006, and it's one that our Shaka Hislop will remember very well. He was playing for West Ham that day.
Shaka thinks he's going to save that. Every time he sees this, he thinks he's going to get there. But the truth is, nobody's saving that. That is just...
In fact, it was in the net before Shaka started diving.
It ended up going to penalties on the day. In fact, I feel it was one of those FA Cup finals where it was a where were you when moment, because it was so epic, so iconic. Steven Gerrard with a standout performance. You just saw his goal on the day. And there they were. That is the last time, 2006.
Wow. Was that in Wales as well? Was that the Millennium in Wales? As they were rebuilding.
2006. In 2012, they met Chelsea and lost out.
Wow.
So, yeah,
I would have lost money on that. I know I would have lost money on that. I thought it was... I didn't think it was that long.
Yeah, well, it has
well,
been.
Well, at least we can now, we and others, can spend the next short period of time talking about quadruples and all the other stuff that Jurgen Klopp would be like, no, cliche, one game at a time. But they are still neck and neck in all these competitions and have got a nose in there for potentially making something. Not going to be easy, but my boy, that would be special.
We've got to say goodbye to our Frank Leboeuf. He's back in London, his old stomping ground. We know he's probably got plenty of schmoozing to do.
He's definitely going out tonight, Frankie. Is that right?
No. I'm going to recover. I'm going to recover, guys. You know, I have a big day tomorrow. It's a big day for the Blues, so I'm going to be there. And we're going to be, I think, close to the Crystal Palace fans, so it's not going to be an easy one. So I'm going to go to bed very early.
Okay, we believe you. Thousands wouldn't. Yeah. Yes, Frank will be back tomorrow. That other semi-final, we'll find out who will face Liverpool in the final between Chelsea and Crystal Palace. We will have that game for you tomorrow and full coverage once again from 11 a.m. Eastern. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's get you some Premier League action from today, shall we? We've got the first game that we'll be showing you. It's Spurs taking on Brighton. Just the one goal in this game, and let me tell you, it wasn't for the home side. In the 90th minute, Brighton would go on and score this. Trossard, 1-0.
Is that Dyer turning his back? My goodness. I mean, at the end of the day, it's good play from Trossard. Dummies to shoot, Dyer falls for it, and then slides it past Lloris. Right here, that's poor defending. But that's great attacking. Good strike in the bottom corner. 90th minute, perfect time to score. No time to react.
It was Brighton's first win away at Spurs since 1981. Brighton winning 1-0. Southampton took on Arsenal today. Just the one goal in this game as well. And it did not go Arsenal's way. It went the way of Southampton.
No, Southampton who just got spanked at Chelsea a week ago. And you've got Arsenal who... You know, only seemed like 3 weeks ago we're flying and oh, Arsenal going to get in the top four, and then they've been beaten again. I mean, it's fallen apart for
third consecutive.
Yeah, they've fallen off a cliff. Meanwhile,
get ready for this. At 7th minute, Manchester United against Norwich. Oh. Norwich playing out from the back. Ronaldo scores.
Well, the reason why he's at the bottom of the league, right? I mean, you can't do that. That's just horrible defending, but you've got to say that United took advantage.
Ronaldo takes advantage here, 32nd minute from the corner.
That's something he's done all his career brilliantly. The way that he attacks with his head. But
there would be a comeback goal, maybe. Kieran Dowell here with a header, that made it 2-1.
I'll tell you what, Pookie had two players he could pick to...
Yeah, Pookie got involved himself to actually level things out in the 52nd. Yeah, that made it 2-2.
I saw the score at 2-0, then I saw 2-1 and I thought, oh no, I mean, he's onside. When I went to 2-2 and then I thought Norwich bottom of the league, but then I thought, it is Man United and they're pretty bad, even at home. So I was like, surely not.
He's on a hat-trick, he's standing over the ball for a free kick and he does this.
Yeah, well, it's one of the few times over the years that he's not actually hit the wall. Because he's hit the wall a thousand times.
Krull's got to save that, sorry. Yep. It's on target, but Krull's got to save that.
Anyway, it turns out to be a big result for Manchester United when you take a look at the top four right now with the likes of Spurs and Arsenal both losing their games. It just continues to heat things up in that top four race. Also, just a nod to Cristiano Ronaldo with another hat-trick. There was that hat-trick against Spurs not long ago either. How's that looking for you now when you see that top four race in the Premier League?
Well, I thought you were going to say, does that change my mind from yesterday about Ronaldo? And the answer would be no.
Just to reiterate, it's that Erik ten Hag has said, apparently, that if he is to come in at Manchester United, Cristiano Ronaldo would not be in his plans.
Well, because that's the future. And Ronaldo, as good as he's been, and he can still obviously score, albeit against the most hapless team in the Premier League, who are the bottom team making mistakes at home, there's a difference between doing that and being in a side that's going to challenge what we saw today and what we've seen over the course of a couple of seasons is the two best teams in England, if not Europe, in Man City and Liverpool. So there's a bigger picture here. The answer to... But those stats are still, like most of his stats, fantastic. I'm not taking that away. The answer to your question about the top four is I have absolutely no idea which one of these teams, if we're taking three... I think West Ham's too far off.
Yeah.
Taking Tottenham, Man United and Arsenal. If you'd asked me this 2.5 weeks ago, I'd have said 3 weeks ago, Arsenal. Then I would have said potentially Tottenham. I would have ruled Man United out at some point. Now they're back in because the other two have been... Tottenham have been on a decent run. Arsenal have tripped over themselves. So I don't know is the answer.
Spurs are favourite.
Normally, There isn't a favourite.
Spurs are favourites with the odds makers.
No, there isn't.
But how can they be? You can... Listen, I understand the bookmakers sit down rationally and crunch the numbers. But sitting down rationally and looking at these three teams and trying to figure out what you're going to get on any given day, regardless of the opposition, whether it's Norwich at the bottom of the table or whether it's against Liverpool or City at the top, you have no idea. How did Tottenham beat Man City 3-0? What they did today. I mean, it is impossible to rationally figure it out and stick your neck out, because you can't, and I'm not sticking mine out.
Go on, do it.
No, I've no idea.
I'm going to say Man United, because I think the other two, and I don't say this with any
confidence. You're going to rationalise this now?
No, I'm trying. If I can start thinking quick enough, I can rationalise why I said Man United, because they're equally as bad.
If you remember, you said about 4 months ago that you thought Man United would be fourth because they've got some game changers, some guys like Ronaldo.
Yeah, hold on. You remember right? What I said four months ago?
I do. Because I actually agreed with you at the time.
Oh, right.
And then they fell away, and so you kind of back to where you were 4 months ago.
Oh, thanks for explaining to everybody what I was thinking.
So here you go, Paul.
Well, I'm going to go for Man United, primarily because...
Game changers.
Arsenal and Tottenham have got a propensity to completely stumble and trip over themselves and just bang their head at a time when, particularly Arsenal, they had, at one point, they had 3 games in hand and it was going to take them, give them this big gap, and as you mentioned, they've lost 3 in a row and not 3 particularly hard games. So I've just said Man United because they have effectively the biggest budget and should have had out of those teams the best squad.
I'll go with Man United or Tottenham, and I'll say Arsenal's out it, because they can't score goals. At least the other two can score goals.
You've got to pick one.
He wants to pick 3. It's hard.
I'll go Tottenham. Mm-hmm. Just because I had to pick one.
Looks as though they might have the easiest run in as well. Maybe
there
that.
There is no easy run in for any of these teams.
No. And they can make it difficult. Don't worry about that.
Much more talk about this on tonight's ESPN FC. Join Sebi and the crew. They will be with you with all the latest on the day's action.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Just a look back at everything that we saw today. The FA Cup semi-final between Manchester City and Liverpool. Liverpool came through despite a late push from City and march on to the final. Who will face them? Well, we'll find out tomorrow when Chelsea take on Crystal Palace. Thank you so much for being with us today. It is Liverpool marching on to the final and still on course for a quadruple.